This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour, an inside look at police unions, how they became so powerful.
They're only powerful because we allow them to be powerful politically.
And how they could help or hurt police reform.
The unions, they have to come on board. They don't want change, but we have to change with the times.
Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted wherever you get your podcasts.
President Trump continues to draw attention with his statements about race and racial division. This morning on Twitter, he called on NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace to apologize for the investigation into a noose found in his garage stall. In the same tweet, the president said that incident, as well as NASCAR's decision to ban Confederate flags from its races, have led to the sport's lowest ratings ever. In fact, NASCAR ratings are up. At Mount Rushmore on Friday, he also accused Democrats of not telling the truth about American history.
Our children are taught in school to hate their own country and to believe that the men and women who built it were not heroes, but that were villains. The radical view of American history is a web of lies.
Here to analyze all this and more, our Politics Monday duo, that's Amy Walter of the Cook Political Report and the host of Public Radio's Politics with Amy Walter, and Tamara Keith of NPR. She also co-hosts the NPR Politics Podcast. Hello to both of you. We seem to be having this conversation on this subject week after week. Amy, to you first, and we should note that Bubba Wallace responded today by saying, hate will always prevail, be prevailed over by love, that love will win out, in effect, and NASCAR backed him up. But here we are talking about this again. Is there evidence that this kind of an approach in a presidential race is effective?
Well, Judy, in 2016, this is what the president focused in on, a lot on racial animus and culture wars. And it worked. It was effective in many places, in large part because, well, he was running against 8 years of Democratic-controlled White House. That's not the case this year. He was running against Hillary Clinton, who had a lot of her own baggage from being in the political, under the political microscope for all these years, being part of a lot of different controversies in her own right. Joe Biden, it's very difficult to make him into some sort of left-wing mob leader. And finally, we weren't in 2016 in the middle of a pandemic and an economic recession. So he wants to make, the president wants to make this a 2016 campaign redux, but the elements aren't there. And to your point about whether it's working, it's actually working against him. Judy, if you look at the polling from, say, May, where the president was down, but somewhere between 4 and 6 points, now he's down by 9 points. Really, since the beginning of June, you've seen the gap open up between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And you can argue that a big part of that is because of the president's intense focus on these sorts of issues.
And we should say, Tam, that the president today also went after the Washington professional football team, the Cleveland professional baseball team, said that if they change their names, it's, quote, politically weak. Does the White House think in some way that this is a strategy that's going to be successful?
It is certainly the strategy that they're going with. And the president has tweeted this and his campaign has talked about this, the idea that somehow there is a silent majority that isn't showing up in the polls that is going to magically show up and vote him back into office. I was talking to a couple of pollsters today, and they say that simply he is running a race in a different time than the one that exists right now, as Amy mentioned. And in some ways, it's almost like he is running as a challenger, not as an incumbent. He is running saying, there is a dangerous mob of people that are going to take your lifestyle away, that's going to change America. Those people are also part of America, and he's been president for 3.5 years. These pollsters that I talked to sort of question the wisdom of that message, but certainly this is what the Trump campaign is going with. You ask them about their second term agenda, as I did today, and the answer was he did a lot in his first term, And he's going to protect people from the dangerous left-wing mob and Marxists. As that's not an exact quote, but Marxist was definitely in there.
And Amy, dig a little bit deeper, if you would, into what you're seeing in the polls, and not just on this kind of language, but also the president's handling of the COVID, the pandemic.
Right. You know, to Tam's point, I've been talking to a lot of folks out there, too, who do wonder why the president is leaning into issues like the stuff he was tweeting about today, whether it's NASCAR or the Washington football team, when he has very little trust on that issue. You know, his overall approval rating is somewhere in the 40s, but on trust to handle race relations is somewhere in the 30s. So he's literally leaning into his an issue that he's seen as the least credible on, right? Every candidate should lean into the issue where they're seen as having the most credibility. And for the president, it's still the economy. Even as the economy is struggling, he still gets positive remarks, not as great as they were, say, 4 or 5 months ago, but better marks than on any other issue. But it really is about him. I don't think this is about a strategy as much as a comfort zone for this president. He needs to have something to push off against. And on culture, this is where he loves to go.
And Tam, go ahead, Tam.
Yeah, so I was talking to an advisor to the president and his campaign, an economic advisor, and I was asking, why does it seem like the president is completely invisible on coronavirus, like he is purposely avoiding talking about it? And this advisor said, well, because he's purposely avoiding talking about it, that, you know, coming out and acknowledging 130,000 deaths or acknowledging that there is a resurgence in the virus, that's not a great campaign message. And what this advisor said is, as Amy pointed out, the area of strength, the one really still sort of strong part of the president's polling is on the economy, on being able to do something about the economy, which is why he's pushed so hard to reopen, which is why he's having an event tomorrow about reopening schools and tweeted in all caps that schools must reopen. He wants to be able to tell a story about a great economic revival, a comeback. It's not clear that the virus has that in mind.
So Amy, when the president says 99% of the COVID cases are not serious, in effect, don't worry about it. It's only 1% of the cases that are worth our concern. I mean, I think the American people know that's not the case, don't they?
Right. And their concern, it goes beyond just that sort of rhetoric. It's concern that relates exactly to what Tam was talking about how to open the economy. You can't open the economy if people are worried about getting sick. And so this still all comes back down to what are the ways in which the country can get a handle on bringing the number of cases down. And obviously we're seeing right now that is a losing argument, or at least we're not winning the war on this virus right now. There's a lot of debate about schools being opening, daycares being open. And so until they all relate to the one thing, and as Tam said, the president's not talking about, which is the coronavirus.
So many tough questions. Amy Walter, Tamara Key, thank you both. Politics Monday.
You're welcome.